You are listening to the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation. This month's guest is Dr. Harvey Kleiman, a research scientist in obstetrics, gynecology, and reproductive sciences at the Yale School of Medicine. He is also the director of Reproductive and Placental Research Unit with a special interest in infertility and pregnancy complications. He has made major contributions in the field of placental research, and we are grateful that he made time to share his insights on our podcast. Well, Dr. Kleiman, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
It's my pleasure.
My first question for you is, how did you first become interested in this field of placental research?
Well, totally by serendipity, because I don't think anybody by themselves would jump into placental research. So I've always knew that I want to be a medical researcher, and I sort of started off mentally as thinking I would get a PhD. And as I was doing research in high school and in college, I saw that the PhDs really didn't have as much control over their life as I wanted over my life. And I saw that the doctors, the MDs, actually did have more control. So luckily, around that time, there was the beginning of a program called the MD-PhD program, funded by the National Institute of Health. And I applied for that at the University of Chicago and was lucky enough to get an MD-PhD award. So I was in a seven-year program that combined an MD and a PhD together. And when I did my PhD, which was on red blood cell membranes, very basic science, I finally finished and went back to the clinic, and my favorite thing was obstetrics. I loved delivering babies. I had a great time. The only problem is that the people who were my teachers then really didn't think that a researcher was going to be successful in obstetrics and gynecology, because they said, look, you're going to be on call every third night. You're going to be doing obstetrics for 20 years. And when your patients get older, then you'll do gynecology. So we don't see how you can really do research. So I was disappointed, but I said, okay, I still want to do research. So I chose to go into pathology, which is a field where we study tissues and we do more basic science work. I ended up at University of Pennsylvania. And the problem is that I didn't really get along personally with the pathologists. They were not social enough for me. I missed my patient care experiences. So while I was there, I finished pathology, but I decided to do what's called a postdoctoral research fellowship in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at University of Pennsylvania. And there I was working on the ovary, actually, how the ovary worked. And one day, and this is the serendipitous story, one day the head of the lab, Jerry Strauss, said, Harvey, would you mind taking a picture of a gradient, because we were digesting placentas. We're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with the placenta. And I said, sure. I was known as a photographer, and I still am. So I took the picture, and I asked Jerry, what are the different bands in this gradient? And he said, I have no idea. We're only doing this to get rid of the red blood cells. So I said, well, would you mind if I started looking at those bands? That looks interesting to me. He said, sure, go for it. So what I discovered by accident was that one of the bands was actually the stem cell. It's sort of like the Lord of the Rings, the ring that controls them all. This is the cell that makes all the other cells of the placenta. And that was a pretty big discovery. I was excited about it, and I shifted my research from the ovary to the placenta, and this was back in the early 80s, and really haven't stopped ever since then. So my entire career changed because somebody asked me to take a picture of something.
That's an unbelievable story, and it sounds like you've been spending the last 35 years of your career devoted to placental research. So based on what you've learned over all these years, we often hear that the placenta can tell the story of the pregnancy. How do you feel about that statement? Do you feel that that is a true statement?
Yes, I look at the placenta as like the rings of a tree. So after the long life of a tree, if you cut a tree down, or hopefully it falls naturally and you look at the rings of the tree, you can see how the tree grew every year, how much water there was, rain there was, nutrition, good times, bad times. And the placenta really is the record of the pregnancy. And as long as we're talking about trees, I think for the audience, I want to sort of draw an analogy. A lot of people think the placenta belongs to mom. They'll say, oh, a baby is born, and then mom's placenta comes out. Well, that's completely incorrect. The placenta is part of the fetus, and the best way for someone to imagine this is to think of a big oak tree with a big trunk and the leaves and the branches above ground, and under the ground is a root system that's as big as the tree is above the ground. And the placenta is the root system for the fetus. So if you think of the leaves and the branches as the fetus and the tree trunk as the umbilical cord, the roots in the ground are the placenta. So likewise, you probably could look at the roots of a tree to see how well it's doing. We can look at the placenta, and most often, 99.99% of the time, we look after delivery. But we can look at the placenta and tell whether there have been problems, whether the fetus has been stressed, when do those things happen, is there something wrong with the development of that fetus and that newborn baby based on just looking at the placenta. So yes, the placenta can definitely tell the story of the pregnancy, and in my opinion, it's the most important thing to look at after the delivery to figure out when things go wrong, especially when there's a pregnancy loss, why that loss occurred.
So with that wonderful tree analogy in mind, and knowing that the majority of the people who listen to this podcast are families who have experienced some sort of loss, how often are stillbirths, neonatal deaths, other poor outcomes related to placenta concerns?
So the vast majority, I mean, I would just take a guess, at least 90%. There are clearly problems, and let's just sort of address them right now and then move on to the placenta. There are problems that happen with fetal development where something doesn't grow normally. But interestingly, those developmental problems, like if a fetus is missing its lungs, for example, now that's a serious problem, and a newborn baby can't survive without lungs, but a fetus can survive without lungs because the placenta basically takes over the function of the lungs. The same thing with cardiac anomalies. There are a lot of fetuses that might have a cardiac anomaly, and yes, it's a serious problem, but it's not going to affect the fetus while it's in utero. It won't even lead to a pregnancy loss, but it will be a serious problem afterwards. Those problems are picked up usually by ultrasound, either at 12 weeks or definitely by 20 weeks. And there's a new field, and this is not the topic of our conversation, but this is what's happening to those fetuses. There's now an increased interest to do actually intrauterine surgery to try to fix those problems. But let's just set those aside and say that those are the minority. The vast majority of problems that lead to an intrauterine fetal demise are related to the placenta and the umbilical cord. And the umbilical cord is the lifeline between the placenta and the fetus, much like you could think of a scuba diver with a tank being the placenta and the hose from the tank to the person's mouth being the umbilical cord. So if there's a kink, for example, in that umbilical cord, that can sadly be very quickly the end of the pregnancy, as an example. But there are many, many things that can cause a pregnancy loss. Most of them are related to the placenta and umbilical cord.
So given the fact of how incredibly important the placenta is, I'm assuming that placental examinations are done routinely after every delivery. Is this done? And if not, should this be done?
So the answer to that question is no, not after every delivery. So let's look at, you know, just the scope of pregnancies in our country per year. And this is in the United States. There are approximately 5 million pregnancies a year in the United States. 1 million of those end in miscarriages. Those are pregnancy losses less than 20 weeks of gestation. And the vast majority of those are in the first trimester. So it's thought that about 1 out of 4 women will have a first trimester loss, and that fits in with the statistics that I just said. So that's the vast majority, 1 million losses. There are 4 million deliveries. There are about 6 per 1,000 intrauterine fetal demises, and those are losses greater than 20 weeks. So another way of looking at that, given the numbers in our country, there are about 25,000 of those. So 25,000 is much less than the million before 20 weeks. They're far fewer, but obviously those are devastating for those families. Now, when there's a loss, clearly the placenta is looked at. But in the vast majority of pregnancies, you know, I'm trying to figure out the percentage now, 98%. If you take the 25,000 per 4 million, that's a small number. About 5% of pregnancies have some complication. And those 5%, usually the placentas are sent for pathologic examination. But the 95%, where there's no obvious problem for the newborn baby, the Apgars are good, the weight is good, you know, the kid goes to the nursery, you know, breastfeeds without any problems, those placentas are not looked at. Now, at Yale, for example, we developed a system to safeguard ourselves to make sure we catch any of the placentas that there might be a problem in the first week of life, and sometimes that happens. So the way we deal with that is the placenta gets put in a refrigerator labeled with the day of the week that it was delivered, and we save the placentas for at least 7 days. If there are no problems in the first 7 days of life, then most of the time there'll be no future problems. That isn't true. It's not zero, that percentage, but most of the time. And those placentas are then discarded as biological waste. So if we put the whole thing together, I would say at most about 10% of placentas are examined and 90% don't get examined by pathology departments.
So let's talk about that 90%. As a researcher, are you missing out? Can the placenta tell us anything about the health of a baby, even when things go well, if the pregnancy and the delivery go perfectly?
That's a great question. So the answer is yes, and part of it is a cost-benefit analysis, really, of is it cost-effective to do that? And I'll give you an example of some of the research we're doing that touches upon what you're talking about. So it's a long story, and I'm not going to tell the whole story here, but through basic research of looking at pregnancy losses and cases that had genetic abnormalities, we discovered that there's a feature in placentas that have something genetically wrong with them. If, and I'm just going to say it's an abnormal